The next case is 99-1115 Toledo Bar Association versus William J. Peters.
From the briefs that we had, I was unsure about the delay in paying the medical bills having resulted from the efforts by counsel to Mr. Peters to reduce those bills. Was you know, it said he negotiated some reductions, but was that the source of the delay? Obviously, it was stipulated that it was...
That was part of it, Madam Justice, not sole reason, however.
Must not be, because he stipulated to the violation.
He was able, frankly, to negotiate now some medical expenses.
Right.
He did do that.
Yes.
However, he has...
And then still didn't pay.
That he was not signing. However, the payments were made.
Pardon me?
Payments were all made.
Yeah.
The client did not suffer economic loss.
And he rebated to her the fee that he had charged on the subrogated claim.
You could also, please, where I've cited several cases in our brief, which we feel are similar to the facts and circumstances of Mr. Peter's situation. Cases, in fact, that some are more egregious, arguably, than Mr. Peter's situation, where the suspension was not invoked. In fact, the case of Stark County versus this Davis Quality, which we said on page 8 of our brief, there was no actual suspension, although the attorney was guilty of neglect and improper use of idle funds. We also said the Flanagan case, again on page 8, where attorney committed acts similar to those of Mr. Peters and received a published reprimand. Recently, this court considered the Rogers case, which we began that cited on page 9 of our brief, where again there was no suspension levy, although it was a commingling situation. The man himself, however, lost a client. Your Honors, we've also ask the court to consider the ADA amount standards for imposing lawyer sanctions. As the court's aware, in Section 9 of those standards, there are aggravating or mitigating circumstances. So Peter's had a prior process. We now do not think it was dishonest in this situation. We did not convert the money to use. We don't see a pattern left of the legislative situation.
So that's the you showed thereby an absence of aggravating circumstances,
right?
I didn't.
Also,
with the recommended sanction, do you suggest that the recommended sanction is of such too strong, where there are no aggravating circumstances?
We're suggesting, Madam Justice, that a sufficient sanction in this case would be a stay of the actual suspension. However, we embrace the recommendation that there be a period of monitoring probation. Mr. Peters, we say this, cite this in the brief, is a sole practitioner. He's been out, actually as long as I have, since 1973. Initially, he was in a private practice with several other attorneys. After a period of 8 to 10 years, he went into a solo practice. He has served in the community and did, prior to this situation, for 23 years, without blemish on his record that I'm aware of. And I think it's a situation that the proper monitoring career could be rehabilitated. You know, I hate to see a solo practitioner removed from the private practice for even 6 months, which can severely debilitate his ability to make a living. But he has impressed me with his candor. He admits what he did here was wrong, certainly inappropriate. I don't think he's malevolent. I don't see malice in Mr. Peters. He made some mistakes and he's willing to accept whatever penalty this court deems appropriate. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Mueller. Mr. Cherry.
little dispense with the introduction since everybody wants to. Mr. Moen, Mr. Peters. There seems to be some question about the facts in this case. Mr. Peters settled a personal injury case on behalf of his client in February 1996. There was a settlement statement signed at that time, and Mr. Peters received his fee, and the client was paid a portion of that settlement, apparently an appropriate portion. Mr. Peters kept about $3,500 or so to negotiate a compromise of some medical claims. The significant portion of that, at any rate, almost on the same day that settlement statement was signed, there was a settlement or a compromise of the major chiropractic bill, which was about $3,300 or $2,000. The settlement proceeds were deposited in what Mr. Peters called a trust account, not an IOTA account. And that trust account was used for the subsequent year by Mr. Peters as his ordinary office business account. Even though that compromise of the chiropractic claim was made in February of 96, the $2,000 to effectuate that compromise was not paid until January 31st of 1997, almost a year later, after the grievance had been filed. So we have here a situation where Mr. Peters was using a trust account. He didn't have an IOTA account. He was using a trust account as his business account. He had his client's money in it. At some point during this time, he paid the client $1,000 of the difference between the $3,500 that he kept and the $2,000 that was needed for the payment of compromise. And then after the grievance was filed, he came up with $2,000 to pay the chiropractor. It's admitted in an exhibit to the...
Excuse me, counsel, since we know that there was a there was an effort to negotiate a reduced fee from the chiropractor, do we know when that agreement was reached? How many months prior to the payment?
There was in the record, I believe, there was a letter from the chiropractor to Mr. Peters dated February 6, 1996, the day of the settlement statement, that the chiropractor at that point agreed to accept $2,000. I don't have the entire record in front of me, but there's a reference in an exhibit to that.
Counsel, there's been a representation made to us that he said at no time this is going to convert these funds to some use. Was there an examination of this account to determine whether or not the balance or the profitability to result in these funds?
Justice Schleif, for the record of the hearing before the, in the record of the hearing before the Joint Bar Association Grievance Committee, which was transcribed and attached as the joint exhibit in the case, reflects that Mr. Peters acknowledged that the account went below $2,000 and in fact went into overdrawn status.
So it would not be true that he did not, at least at some point in time, convert these funds to the reason.
That is,
and then they put it back.
Our representation facts. He was found to have committed a 9102 commingling violation, but not a 1102 dishonesty. Why that happened, say, then that's what we're left with.
Well, but to pursue that, they didn't find that he had converted the funds to his own use. I think that's what Justice Pfeiffer is asking you.
They did not find that.
Right. They only found the commingling.
That's correct, Your Honor. Unless it's being given the fact that there's sufficient
evidence. Do you agree that the client here was not economically harmed?
That seems to be the case. The client was ultimately made whole. Ultimately,
but was there a delay in making the client? I mean, if I'm entitled to money in February and I get it in August, I suppose I could argue that I'm economically harmed.
That would be the only measure of harm, would be the delay between the payment of the credit to the client's creditor, actually, from February 96 until the end of January 97.
What
did
he send her back
$1,000?
A year better
than he had. It was sometime in that year. I don't have the exact date, but it was within several months after the.
He didn't have her share of the year, the entire
practice
share.
Correct. That's what we're talking about. Mr. Mueller has talked a lot about Mr. Peters' financial strains and personal losses. The fact is, he was using his trust account for his business purposes because the IRS had frozen his business accounts.
Didn't that come out of his wife's problems with the IRS, though?
I don't know the record, or I don't know what the source of the IRS problems were.
Our report seems to say that he suffering a problem because of his wife, who was a doctor, I think. Maybe the brief says that. In any event, that's my impression.
That may well be the case.
Yeah.
Really admitted from the beginning that he was dilatory, neglectful.
it was money held on her behalf to pay
correct.
The creditors, right? And that's,
correct.
I mean, that's using her money that for his own, apparently for his own bed or whatever. It's using her money that should have been paid. And she could have, I guess there's no evidence of this, but you could have credit problems as a result of that, not paying a creditor. I mean, I don't think we should downplay the fact that it's still her money that he's using, withholding from an obligation he has to pay it to somebody on her behalf.
Well, that's correct. What we tried to do in our brief was essentially admit Mr. Peters has, since the beginning, his violations. But our presentation was essentially mitigatory. I mean, I'm not aware of any prior history that he has. I don't think he had dishonest motive. He was certainly ignorant at the time, but we would submit that because of his family pressures and actual tragedies, as well as the IRS problems that did involve his wife, who was a medical doctor, whose income was substantially higher than it was at the time of Mr. Peters, who didn't contribute to this IRS situation as Justice Douglas has alluded to.
Well, the requirement for an IOLTA account, I think, unless I've got the facts wrong, preceded his family problems. Is that correct?
Right.
So he should have had an IOLTA about many years ago, it seems to me.
We're not disputing
that.
Yeah. And I think something else that should be said, and I think it's implicit in our briefing, my statements this morning, is he is extremely remorseful for what's happened. He knows that mistakes. He's not trying to shirk his responsibility here. All we're trying to present to the court is an option to submit. Perhaps in this case, based on some of the case precedent that we've cited, that an actual suspension is not mandatory. We're not trying to name or downplay. Since this year period where he had the problems, he's now taken steps to properly segregate funds in an IOLTA account. He's tried to do what is necessary to practice according to the disciplinary rules. He, again, has never disputed the actual facts here. What he's submitting is an alternative sanction. Does not include an actual suspension. But he has acknowledged that certain delay in some of his medical providers. He did not segregate the money properly. He's admitted that case in the court for your consideration.
Thank you. Case is submitted. You'll be advised by our opinion.
Thank you.